When I first looked at the lesson, it was full of stuff that I needed to process and work through. So I want to talk about 1 Timothy this morning, habits for our heart that God is calling us to develop. And specifically, what was pressed on me was just how much He loves us and how much He wants us to be generous in the way we love others. And I'm actually subbing this week, or actually swapped 2 weeks ago. And this is just an example of how much God loves us and protects us if we listen to Him. But 2 weeks ago today, Lucina called me. She was in the car driving somewhere, and I was in the car going somewhere else. And she said, "Would you be comfortable trading with me?" I was supposed to teach on the 30th. And she said, "I'm just not sure I can teach that lesson on the 16th. And I said, "You know, sure, what's up? Because I hadn't looked at what the lesson was. So before I committed, I wanted to make sure that there wasn't prophecy or something, which y'all who have seen me know that I struggle with. And she just said, "You know, Lucina's father-in-law passed away this summer. Sweet Mary V, one of our members, is a widow now. And she just said, I think it's going to be really hard. And I'm just feeling like I can't do it." And unbeknownst to both of us, last week, Kyle's aunt died, Mary V's, or Kyle's uncle died, Mary V's sister's husband. And so Kyle and Lucina spent the weekend not only marrying a friend, but on Sunday doing a burial and loving on their family. And what struck me is just how generous God's love is. I mean, He pressed on her 2 weeks ago, "You may not know something's going to happen, but I do. And my protection and love for you is to take you off the hook for teaching. So you need to trade." And she listened to that. I mean, I think that's how God tenderly, lovingly cares for us, if we listen and pay attention. And so that's what this week's lesson looked like for me. It was about how God just gives us so many gifts. And like the Ephesians, we are just so richly blessed. He gives us talents, resources, abilities, all kinds of beautiful skills and things. But it's not like a treasure chest of, you know, booty on the pirate beach. It's treasure chest that He wants us to open up and share and just love well and love generously. And so that is where I'm going. Habits of the heart. And I want to talk about three things specifically. I want to talk about, just from this lesson, being generous in the way we love others. And boy, He lays it out for us in here, doesn't He? On how, who we're supposed to love and how we're supposed to love them. I want to talk about being generous in support of those who need our support the most. And I want to talk about just being generous in thanking those who lead and serve our church body. Now, on this slide is a picture of Ephesus. My family went there this summer. It was so cool. But just to put it in perspective, I always think of like every city in the Bible as the little town of Bethlehem, you know, where people are staying in stables and it's very, you know. And what struck me is that this was no little town of Bethlehem. Ephesus, in the time that Timothy was there, was a huge metropolitan city. This building in the background is the library that was there during Timothy's time. This was a huge seaport. It's no longer even at the sea, which is interesting how God has changed the surroundings of Ephesus. But it held one of the seven wonders of the ancient world. There was a temple to Artemis there, who was a female warrior goddess. It was one of the most significant buildings in the ancient world. And this was a bustling, huge city. They had running water in the city, and they had hot water in the wealthy people's homes. So like Dallas, there were very poor and there were very wealthy people, and this was a significant city of the time. So I think what God was telling these Ephesians is, you have so much, get ready to open it up and be generous. Generous with love, generous with support, generous in thanking those who lead. So habits for our heart to change. And the first area I want to talk about is that generous with love from 1 Timothy 5, 1 through 2. "Do not rebuke an older man harshly, but exhort him as if he were your father. Treat younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, and younger women as sisters with absolute purity." And now here's Timothy, this young man who is charged with serving this church, and he really is their link to their faith. I mean, he is pouring into them everything he knows. But certainly there were men much older than Timothy. There were older women there. There were lots of families and people that were coming to him for instruction. And God was reminding Timothy, just like he's reminding us, the people in your church should be treated like family members. Now, some of us, our family members are the people that we most are comfortable not treating quite so nice, if you're like me. You know, they're the people that can rub you the wrong way and that maybe you'd rather not sit across from at Thanksgiving dinner. Sometimes a stranger would be better than some of those. But God was calling the Ephesians, and he's calling us, love each other well. Think about God's model for a family. He wants kindness. He wants compassion. He wants forgiveness. He wants us to act humbly, proper respect, tenderness. You know, the charge here is just to love like we love our families. And I have a little clip I want to show, which is from my favorite theatrical groups, one of them, the VeggieTale Kids. So, and this is how they define loving their families. I thought it might help us put it in perspective.
So, what do you guys think it means to love your family?
I think love is something sweet.
I love my mommy so.
She's sweet as sugar.
My name is William. I'm 3 years old. I love mommy.
What else?
Mommy and daddy liked each other because they never met before when they were kids, but now they're met.
They like got married and everything, and so they love each other.
When you love somebody, you like to give them cards.
When people love each other, they hug and kiss.
How did your mom show you that she loves you?
Because she hugs me and kisses me sometimes. She hugs and kisses me a lot.
I love my mom. My grandpa is my dog, Snoop. He has a tail, and her is a girl. And she always do like this on the floor.
If I wrote a letter to my mom, I would say, thank you for everything you do, and thank you for letting me participate in things. I love you.
How do you show love to your family?
I show mommy I love her.
I show my love to my mommy by helping. I mop for her, and I help her cook. I help her make pot roast. I babysit my baby brother.
Well, I help with fold laundry, and we help her clean up the house if company is coming over.
She serves us by schooling us, make her coffee.
Really?
Yes.
Well, why?
Why wouldn't I? I just know how to make coffee.
Oh, well, you sell it to her?
No, I don't sell my coffee to my mom. That would be inappropriate.
You know, sometimes kids can say it so much better than I ever could. It is tenderness. It's kindness. It's hugging someone. It's sending them a card. It is serving a meal. It is cooking for them. I mean, those little VeggieTale kids just say it all in a minute and a half. But that is what Jesus is commanding us to do here. It is to love one another. John 15:17 says it exactly in those words. Our church family, we are to love like that. Hard challenge. Generous love, abundant love, or as Francis Chan calls it, kind of that crazy love. So the question I asked myself this week, and I would ask you guys, is are the care, concern, and love you have for those in our church a top priority? Are you loving them well? Kind of hard. Let's go to the second one from 1 Timothy 5:3. Give proper recognition to those widows who are really in need. And I hope you had great discussion in your small group about this. I mean, my group did. There were so many layers and so many things. And I think Paul takes this love everyone like a family, and then he carves out this one piece. So we have this beautiful example of what he means. How does it look? How do we do it? Who does that include? How do we make it happen? But Paul is talking about generously supporting those who are in need in our church body, a little bit above and beyond just loving them well, but supporting them at a different level. So we talked about special care and financial assistance should be given to widows. And he takes us through what a true widow is. And tells us that this is a hallmark of our Christian faith from James 1:27. Pure and undefiled religion in the sight of our God and Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress and to keep oneself unstained by the world. We had great discussion about that scripture when we studied James. Then we're supposed to care for family members who are unable to care for themselves. From 1 Timothy 5:8, anyone who does not provide for their relatives and especially for their own household has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Wow. God really designed our family unit to care for our biological relatives, just like he designed the church to care for our church community. You know, I think unfortunately our society has lost part of this, because we can look at other places in the world where extended family live together, they're cared for together, but so many people in our community are just really widowed because they are solo, they're by themselves. So our community is called to care for those who are true widows and to care for those in our family who can't care for themselves. The third thing that Paul really pointed out is that funds are not to be given indiscriminately. And I love this too, because he's saying we need to be thoughtful with the resources God gives us, and we need to dole them out, and I know you guys talked about it with those widows, in a way that honors God and is how he would have us spend the money that's really his. So how he would choose to take care of them. And 1 Timothy 5:10 talked about women who have a reputation for good works, if she's brought up children. Remember, he's talking about widows here, so they would have, their children would have passed away. So they would have lost those children if they were true widows. If she's shown hospitality to strangers, if she's washed the feet of saints, if she's assisted those in distress, and if she's devoted herself to every good work. And there are lots of women in our community that we would put in that category. So how we would financially support them. Now, this lesson made me stop and think about the widows in my life. There's a lady who helped checks me out at Walgreens who is a widow that I've talked to for 5 years, but I haven't really ministered to her, but she is in my life. I have a sister-in-law who's been a widow for 13 years and was widowed at 38. Made me think about, and I shared this with my group, about that whole conversation about widows remarrying, because my husband gets in her face once a year about, you need to remarry, it's biblical. And I'm always saying, oh, sweetie, I don't know where that is in the Bible. Well, unfortunately, now I really do, because I've really studied it. Because I'm like, you know, honey, I'm not sure we should pressure her this way. And he is on her every 4th of July at this family gathering we have. And we see her all the time, but it's like on the 4th of July, the whole family's there. And so he's saying, let me call someone to come marry you, and we'll all do it here. The whole family's here. And I'm like, oh my, you know, but anyway, so I have to call her this week and tell her I'm all in this 4th of July. I am signed up. I know where it is in scripture. I am all in. And her significant other, who she's dated for probably 9 or 10 years, is always with us too. So I guess I need to tell him that, so he is not surprised. But I just thought about all the widows that are in my life, and I was just amazed at my list, because I sat down and thought it through. And so thinking about that also made me think about just women in this Bible study who do amazing things. And I wish we could get this line of them up here to talk about their testimonial on how they're loving widows and serving them. A couple things came to mind. One is these beautiful scarves. And Lucina Thompson, one of our elders' wives and our teacher, you know, started taking women to Uganda to love and serve widows over there. Barbara Robertson, who in her pre-mama life, had a fashion design company. She had a very successful clothing design and manufacturing company. God just gave her all these skills and abilities, beautifully designed her with gifts to merchandise, to create. So Barbara goes on one of these trips, and she creates these scarves. We send all of our old T-shirts over there. So these are T-shirts. I guess someone went to Texas and someone went to Baylor. And no one went to TCU where I'd have that one on. I just have my brown. But, you know, we send our T-shirts, and this is what they send back. And we sell them, and we support these widows. And how beautiful that Barbara, God created her with all these gifts. I guarantee when she quit working 10 or 15 years ago because God pressed on her that he wanted her to be with her kids, she had no idea how she'd be supporting widows. And how we all support widows, if you've bought any of the beaded jewelry, if you've bought these, and we'll be selling them on the 30th after our next class. So if you want to buy Christmas gifts and things, I will make a plug, because you know what? This is our Bible studies ministry to these widows, and they are fully dependent. They are the destitute widow because their husbands have died in war or by AIDS. I mean, it is just convicting. Then, these are pictures of the widows with some of the gals that were with me last time. But they are knitting, walking around. They're knitting, cooking dinner. They are knitting, doing everything. It is their livelihood. Then just some other examples of widows that I think are sweet. Ann Piper, a church staff person here, lost her husband very unexpectedly last month. And her community group and the church has just, I mean, there is a list for people who want to mow her yard, who want to help with home repairs, who want to do meals, who want to take lunches. I mean, it's just humbling how they have surrounded her with love and are trying to serve her and meet those needs. That's the kind of love God wants us to have. I think about the Dallas Life Foundation, which is the largest homeless shelter in Dallas. It's a fabulous Christian organization. There's a woman who's lived there for 13 years because she is a widow who has no one. And that organization understands their Christian ministry. She has lived, I mean, that's her home. She has a room, sweetest thing, and you find her knitting and doing needlepoint. I mean, she's in her 80s, but 13 years because she has no one else. The church has lovingly cared for her. Women who, in this room, who do Bible studies down at Cornerstone, loving and serving widows. I think about Elizabeth Tamlin, who lovingly cared for her dad in her home for 11 years. Her dad lived with her family as a widower, and now she writes a newsletter that's sent out every Monday electronically, just encouraging and pouring scripture into people who care for their parents. So there are just such beautiful examples in this room of how you're using your gifts and abilities to serve these who God has pointed out to us. And I love the scripture from Matthew 25:39-41. And I'm just going to read the end of this. Is Christ saying, I am telling you the solemn truth. Whenever you did one of these things to someone overlooked or ignored, that was me. You did it for me. He is that hand we're feeding, we're comforting. It is just, he is so connected, but it is for him. So microfinance, serving meals, mowing lawns, or just going next door and, you know, on your walk, stopping and making sure you talk to the widow who lives down the street. The Bible doesn't tell us specifically what to do other than these guidelines in Timothy, but it is clear from Timothy 5:8 and 5:2 that caring for widows and family members is a top priority for us. So my question here would be, who are the widows in your life? Who are those you are touching in some way? And how are we doing, ladies? Loving and serving them well. All right, the last thing I want to talk about is from 1 Timothy 5:17-18. And this is the elder stuff. The elders who direct the affairs of the church are worthy of double honor, especially those whose work is preaching and teaching. For Scripture says, do not muzzle an ox while it is treading out the grain, and the worker deserves his wages. So the third area of generosity, when I looked at this scripture, was just being generous and giving thanks and honor to those who lead and serve us as elders and staff of this church. And specifically, Timothy points out, fair wages, there is a compensation component, although I do not believe our elders are compensated. Let me just say that. And some of their wives are laughing as I say that. So no, they're not compensated. Let me just point that out. But an honorable treatment. And, Timothy is specifically in this scripture talking about official elders, because he talks about those who are entrusted with teaching and preaching. So we're talking about the official elders here. And he quotes, Paul quotes in his writings to Timothy, scripture from Deuteronomy about fair wages. And he quotes Luke which is scripture from the New Testament on fair wages. So it kind of gives it a double whammy. He's saying, don't ignore this. It's in the Old Testament, guys. And oh, by the way, Luke wrote that 30 years ago, which is also great evidence that the Bible is the inspired word of God, if people challenge you on that, because even Paul and Timothy were using scripture that was only written 30 years earlier, but they knew it was the inherent word of God. They knew Luke's scripture was inspired words, and he's quoting that. So, fair pay, honorable treatment. And Paul takes this all through the fair pay. And I just want to talk for a minute about one of the areas he gets into about the honorable treatment, which is a way that we can really honor and love each other, which is the whole idea of withholding judgment. And I love that Timothy takes us through, you know, if someone is accusing an elder, or if someone's accusing your sister in the church, or anyone else, then you need to ask for, okay, let's get one or two witnesses. Let's go to that person and see. It's this beautiful model of how we deal with conflict in our church. And our church does such a great job of teaching that. But it's getting the facts. It's being impartial. And Paul even tells Timothy at the end of that scripture, and oh, by the way, be fair and impartial. And he talks about who's watching. God's watching, Jesus is watching, and the angels are watching. And wouldn't that be a little bit of pressure? Like, ooh, better really do that, because everyone, the judges are watching. We're supposed to be fair and impartial with those things. But Paul just exhorts Timothy that when we're dealing with our elders and we're dealing with staff, we need to be kind and gentle in the way we approach any conflict with people accusing. Because you know what? They're fair game. I mean, think about people grumbling about, oh, you know, did I like that sermon today? You know, did Todd get any sleep last night? You know, I mean, it's just, they are open to attack. They're very vulnerable, the elders and our staff. And we just have to gently and loving make sure that we are guarding and protecting them in a way that provides double honor for them. So my questions, you know, around here, when I think about fair wages, fair treatment for them, double honor, it was really the double honor part that resonated with me, because I don't have a lot to do with the salaries at Watermark. No one's ever asked me what I think about those, so I'm thinking that they probably won't either. So I have to ask, what have I done lately to honor my staff and elders? Have I ever done anything, really? I might have said thank you, or, you know, hey, good sermon or great lesson. But, you know, what have I done and what can we do? And to me, it isn't the paycheck for us. It is the treatment that God's calling us to do. What does double honor look like in our lives, in our actions? So is it sending a note of appreciation? Is it offering to babysit their kids one night if they don't have six, maybe, if they just have two? Sorry. Sorry, those of you. Is it right? Make sure you ask how many they have before you sign up for that one. Is it just baking some cookies? Is it taking time to make a phone call and just say, we really appreciate you. I'm thankful that you're doing that work because I know it's hard. Or is it just simply being kind and being supportive? And when you hear grumblings, saying, you know what? Let's stop. Where'd you get that? Why are you feeling that? Let's talk about it. And let's go to them and let's figure this out, because this is not healthy for our church family. It is the double honor. So I hope you're challenged by that double honor and what it means for each of us. So 1 Timothy really calls me to ask myself three questions. Am I generous in how I love and treat my family, including my church family? And how am I doing with that? Am I generous to the weak and the defenseless? Who are my widows, and am I doing well with them? And am I generous in honoring and thanking those who lead my church? You know, we're all called to live generously, loving and supporting those around us. Biological family, church leadership, our church family. And, you know, God tells us he's given us everything we need to do that well. So me saying, ooh, well, you know, I'm not very good at X. Well, really, he's gifted me with Y then, which is probably the area I need to be doing that with them in. So he's given me everything I need to accomplish it. And so I've got to think, how do I apply this, and what does it really look like for me? Now, I hope you were at church on Sunday. Todd taught on John 7, and he talked about that we are the living water in this stage of the church evolution and history, that we are the living water and we're supposed to just pour out to our community, to our church family, the love and living water of Christ. And so these two lessons really linked for me. Okay, we are the living water. When we got in the car after church, my husband said that he had heard someone say that if we're not pouring out like living water, that we're really more like a stinky, clogged up toilet. And so I decided, well, I think I'd rather be living water. But that is the challenge. Are you living water? When you walk these halls, are you living water? When you are with people in your community group, are you living water? When you love your family and when you sit with them at Thanksgiving next week, are you living water? No matter how hard it is, are you Christ's living water? Are you pouring it out to them? Isn't that what 1 Timothy 5 is all about? Just pouring out the love of God. I love the quote by Richard Stearns, who wrote The Hole in the Gospel. He leads World Vision. He says, when we become more involved in people's lives, when we work to build relationships, walk with them in their sorrows and their joys, live with them, live with generosity toward others, love and care for them unconditionally, stand up for the defenseless, and pay particular attention to the poorest and the most vulnerable, we are showing Christ's love to those around us, not just talking about it. So I hope as we enter the season of Thanksgiving, let us be women changed by God. Let Him really push on you. How are you going to love well next week? With family, with your church? How are you going to honor the church staff and elders? Maybe next week at Thanksgiving, you pass a card around and your family signs it and you send it in. I don't know what it is for you. I just know that it's going to be creative and 200 different things could happen if we're challenged and if we take it to heart. But we need to be women who strive each day to just love and lead generously. That's what 1 Timothy 5 is calling us to do. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, we just do ask you to change each of us, Father. And we know it may be really hard for us to love on our own, but we can love because of you, Father, and that you can do it for us. So I just pray as we enter the season of Thanksgiving, we do it just with generous hearts and loving hearts to love well and lead well, Father. In your name we pray.